Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In March, I took you on an audio walking tour with former PCGG Commissioner Attorney Ruben Carranza, tagging along as he went to visit one of the Marcos family's old lavish mansions in New Jersey. This time, Ruben and I will take you to 40 Wall Street, a large historic building in the middle of New York's financial district. Like the Princeton Pike Mansion in New Jersey, this too was bought with money stolen from Filipino taxpayers. By the way, Ruben was the commissioner in charge of litigation and investigation that recovered $680 million in ill-gotten assets of the Marcos family hidden abroad. You're listening to Teka Teka, and I'm Izzy. Ruben is standing on an underground rail platform, bright white lights illuminating the whole place. Beside him is an idle subway train.
Hello, this is me in Manhattan, New York. I'm at the World Trade Center train station. I just got off, coming from New Jersey, and I'm going to walk you to a building just a few blocks from here. It's a building that's famous in architecture. It was built in 1929. It's famous because of who owned it and also because of who now owns it.
Ruben puts on his face mask and starts to walk.
And then we'll go to a building called 40 Wall Street.
He walks up the stairs of the subway station and goes through one of the exit turnstiles.
It's a few blocks, so I'll just talk a little bit more about the former owner of this building that we're going to see.
On the street level now, he's passing by an elliptical dome made of glass and white steel columns with many shops around. There are people walking, sitting around, and chatting.
This is called the Oculus, famous for its architecture as well. Of course, the building was expensive when it was built. It cost billions of dollars. It's even described as one of the most expensive train stations in the world. But you can see that the building was built with private and public funds. It's owned by a realtor. The building we're going to see was purchased with public funds, was paid for by a people who were very poor, and yet ended up being owned by just one person.
Inside, Ruben takes the stairs.
I'm going to walk through this door. It's still inside the Oculus World Trade Center train station. And then now we're entering a subway station. It's called the Fulton Center.
He is now walking inside another subway station and a few people are walking.
From here, it will take us another 5 minutes to go to where I want to take you.
He then jumps on the escalator.
We're going up to John Street. For those who are not familiar, Wall Street is in the downtown area of Manhattan. Some of the most expensive buildings in New York City are around here. And not just New York City, but the United States, even the world. Expensive because Wall Street is also the financial center of the United States economy. You have the New York Stock Exchange located here, just about 2 blocks away.
Ruben steps out of the station. He walks on a busy pavement obscured by scaffolding. There are tall buildings, a row of shops, and cars parked on the side of the street.
The reason people buy buildings here, it's because office workers come here. Corporations establish their headquarters and offices here.
He crosses the pedestrian and continues to walk. Ruben lands in front of a neo-Gothic skyscraper where an American flag is displayed.
But in 1981 and 1982, Imelda Marcos decided to go shopping. She has always, of course, been shopping extravagantly, using money coming from the Philippine National Bank, diverting money, for example, from the National Food Authority. In one day alone, Imelda Marcos went to the Bulgari jewelry store here in New York and purchased $3 million worth of jewelry in just one day. Sa loob lang ng isang araw, bumili ng katakot-takot na alahas sa halagang 3 milyong dolyares, hindi piso, dolyares.
He moves closer to the building. At this point, we can see the gold capital letter saying, it's the Trump building.
But this shopping spree in 1980, 1981, and 1982 was different. Imelda Marcos didn't just want jewelry, didn't just want paintings, didn't just want shoes. What she wanted was New York City buildings. And in 1981, Imelda Marcos asked Ferdinand Marcos to buy her this building. 40 Wall Street. Why is it called the Trump Building now? That's another story. But for a long time, before Trump acquired this building, sometime in the 1990s, I think in 1995, this was called 40 Wall Street, 72 stories high, one of the prime locations on Wall Street.
Ruben walks even closer to the building and pauses.
40 Wall Street was only one of four buildings that Imelda Marcos wanted and that Ferdinand Marcos said would be his gifts to Imelda. He bought three other buildings in New York City. One in downtown, another close by here, and still another in another part of the city. But 40 Wall Street was one of the most expensive of the four. In fact, it may have been the most expensive. How much did Ferdinand Marcos pay to give this gift to Imelda Marcos? $70 million. In 1981, not today, but in 1981, how much is $70 million today? A very rough calculation, it's about $200 billion. Billion dollars, not million, not 100 million, billion.
This time, Ruben is now in front of the building doors.
Imagine what you could have bought with $71 million in 1981, the year that the peso plunged in value, the year that the Philippine debt had grown to $17 billion. Just 3 years after Marcos gave this building as a gift to Imelda Marcos, the Philippine debt had ballooned even higher. In 1984, the Philippine debt had grown to $24 billion. Imagine that. Filipinos were in debt for $24 billion, money borrowed by the Marcos family. And where did that money go? Marcos used it to buy buildings like this for $70 million. A gift to Imelda. How do we know that Marcos bought this building for Imelda Marcos? Because the real estate company that he used as a front to buy this building was forced to testify in the U.S. Congress by U.S. congressmen who were appalled by the corruption they saw right after the Marcos family fled in 1986.
The two real estate agents who were actually brothers, Joseph and Ralph Bernstein, gave very detailed testimony. Joseph said he was flown from Malacañang Palace to a resort at Puerto Azul in Cavite, where Marcos discussed the international taxes of securing a loan from a Swiss bank. The Bernstein said that at least three or four times each year, they met with Imelda Marcos in New York to discuss the development of the properties. They also recall that in 1984, Imelda Marcos told them she wanted to use 40 Wall Street to generate $70 million to pay for her husband's 1987 re-election campaign.
There's a handwritten contract signed by one of the Bernstein brothers saying that they would maintain this three other buildings plus that mansion in Princeton where Imee Marcos lived, plus another mansion near that mansion in Princeton where Bongbong Marcos lived when he was a student at Wharton. All those properties, including this one, purchased not with money from a president who was only being paid $13,000 a year at most. A president who never declared any other significant assets in his statement of assets and liabilities. As a matter of fact, when the Supreme Court in 2003 calculated how much total income Marcos earned in 20 years, they said, legally, $304,000. Isipin mo yan, $304,000 lang ang legal income ng mag-asawang Marcos, silang dalawa, hindi lang si Ferdinand. Pero nakabili ng building sa halagang $71 million.
Ruben pushes through the revolving glass doors. Inside the building, we can see that the walls and the floors are made of highly polished brown marble, accented by long brown carpeting. In the main lobby, a man in a black suit is standing behind the marble reception desk. Ruben approaches the man.
Let me ask. Can I ask you a question? Before it was known as the Trump Building, what was it called? And for a long time, it was just 40 Wall Street, right? It's always been, because that's the address. Do you remember it was once owned? Sure.
It's become marketable and was taken.
That's correct. I'm glad you know the history of that, because it was terrible. The most terrible part, just so you know, his son is running for president.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Thank you.
Ruben walks away. He enters a glass door, still inside the building, and walks up an escalator.
So that was the reception at this building. And interesting, he knows enough about the history of the Philippines. Something went bad, he said, to the Marcos family. I told him there was a revolution. The dictatorship ended, people kicked them out. They went back, they went to Hawaii, they fled into exile. They tried to get the stolen money they had back. They failed. We were able to recover a lot of it, 174 billion pesos. There's still a lot to recover, but we'll get there.
In 1986, the Wall Street property faced a string of lawsuits when the Marcos family was exiled. It was auctioned off and foreclosed later on. In 1995, a real estate tycoon by the name of Donald Trump bought the building, which is now used as a commercial property. Ruben reaches the top of the escalator, but then backtracks and then just makes his way out of the building.
I can't go up to the upper floors of the building. This is just a pharmacy on the ground floor. You can see it's an opulent building. It's a building that would have been worth 70 million. In 1981, but it's not a building that you would buy if you cared for your people. It's not a building that you would gift to your wife if you were not a corrupt dictator. And that's Ferdinand Marcos bought this building as a gift to Imelda Marcos, even while the rest of the Filipino people were dying of hunger and were being killed.
Again, I'm Izzy. This episode was edited by Presh Capistrano and produced by Kat Ventura. For more on the Princeton Pike property that Amy Marcos lived in, please look up A Walking Tour of the Marcos Mansion in New Jersey. And of course, follow Teka Teka and Puma Podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen. Maraming salamat po.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.